Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who will need zero convincing to make Nora a future podcast caller. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our feedback show for Survivor Island of the Idols, episode number 4. I am back here in the studio talking Survivor after a cross-country trip to New York for our live show this past week, and very excited to be back after a very successful trip to talk about your Survivor feedback questions. And we got a great guest today. Morgan Rickey is going to join us. I had Bradley here in the studio and I had talked to him about everything, and Bradley said he had a great time, and he said, you know who you should talk to? You have to talk to more. I'm doing like a half-assed Bradley. Talk to Morgan. And so I said, all right, give me her number. Let's get her on the phone. Let's see what Morgan has to say. And that's what we're doing here today on this week's Survivor Feedback Show. So we'll get Morgan on the line in just a moment. Of course, in addition to our big live show, which I highly recommend you check out, I also had my exit interview with a very emotional Chelsea Walker, who is out of the game at this point in time. Also, I have here probably a woman who wants to crow a little bit. The first lady of podcasting is here to join me in setting up the show. Nicole, do you want to make fun of me for my winner pick being voted out?
I would never make fun, but I will say that I'm winning.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Okay. Wait, who's your winner pick?
Tommy.
Yeah. Are you sure?
No.
Yeah. I thought you had Elaine. I thought Elaine is your winner pick.
No, I think that I had
We'll go back and check.
I had three.
Three?
I had three, and then I...
Why do you get three?
Can I finish my sentence? I had three, and then I brought it down to one.
Okay.
And I think, I'm pretty sure it was Tommy.
I thought you had Aaron. I think you have Aaron.
I don't.
Okay. All right. We'll have to check. All right.
Where were you? I don't think you were in this conversation.
Well, I'm just seeing maybe if I can persuade you. Boston Rob, taught me all the ways to persuade people.
You, sir, are no Boston Rob.
I feel like, easy. Take it easy. I thought I could maybe persuade you into thinking you had a different person.
Not today.
Yeah, I thought I could maybe use this or that on you.
Mm-hmm, no.
This for that, I believe, is the name of that that method of this many.
When you have a statue as big as an island, then let's chat.
Yeah, what about this for that?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so a lot going on, of course, on our wrap-ups feed as well, in addition to why Chelsea lost. And then we have Scott Chernoff joining Mike and Liana on the B&B. Shannon Gates has the debut of her podcast, where Shannon Gates does an expert job covering all of our international Survivor seasons. She is now bringing the international Survivors to talk about the U.S., where Pia from this season's Australian Survivor is going to join Shannon to talk about everything that's going on through 4 weeks of Survivor. So check that out as well in our Survivor podcast feed. Nicole, before we get to talking to Morgan Rickey on the podcast today, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor. And I brought Nicole in to talk about figs, and figs are great looking scrubs for the people that we can count on, our nurses, our doctors, our dentists, people that work in medicine and healthcare, the medical professionals who help us and our family members. Don't they deserve to look nice?
You know, I actually feel like the hot nurse when I'm wearing my fig scrubs.
Okay. I don't know if that's what they're going for, Nicole.
That is my experience.
That's how you feel.
Because they're really cute and they're very flattering, and they don't like those frumpy scrubs.
Yes. That Figs is an amazing company that makes scrubs stylish and functional for the people who deserve it the most. For years, nurses, doctors, dentists, and other awesome medical professionals were forced to wear scratchy, scratchy?
The material of some scrubs is just, it's not good.
They're not only are they ugly and uncomfortable,
yes,
but they weren't designed with innovative technical properties to protect and hold life-saving tools.
Like,
you know, easy, Nicole. Okay. This is not that kind of podcast.
Yeah.
That's why Figs created the highest quality medical apparel for medical professionals to look their best, feel their best, and perform their best. Every day, they are antimicrobial, protecting you from germs and bacteria. They're ridiculously soft, Moisture Wicking, soft. Featuring a four-way stretch, and they have lots of different styles with yoga waistbands, mm-hmm. which come in a variety of styles from classic straight legs to joggers and skinny styles, too.
Yes. I am 10 for 10 on my IV starts with wearing my Fig scrubs. So maybe they're good luck, too.
Okay. Nicole, so when you wear the Fig scrubs, do you stand out from the other medical professionals?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. And what did the other medical professionals say to you?
I get lots of compliments about my scrubs. They want to know where I get them. And they like how soft they are. And they like to stroke my arm.
Yes.
And touch the softness.
All right. Easy, easy again. Okay. Figs gives back, and you can too. Every time you shop at Figs, they give scrubs to healthcare providers in need around the world in their Threads for Threads initiative. To date, Figs has donated hundreds of thousands of sets in 35 countries, and Figs makes great gifts for lifesavers in your life too, with gift cards available. So whether you're one of the awesome humans that works in healthcare or someone who wants to say thanks to these deserving folks, Figs is going to make that easy by providing you with 15% off your first purchase when you use promo code RHAP. Get ready to love your scrubs. Head to Wear Figs, that's WearFigs.com. Enter our promo code RHAP at checkout. That's wearfigs.com. Promo code RHAP to save 15%. All right, Nicole, thank you for joining us to help talk about all this.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and we will talk again soon on the next Patron 5 for 5, and not again until then.
Yes, that's all. Seems like the only time we talk these days.
All right. All right. Did you miss me while I was gone?
I did miss you. You're very handsome.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we'll talk more about that later. Okay. Thank
oh,
you,
yeah,
Nicole.
We will.
All right, everybody. I'm very excited to bring in our guest here today to talk about everything that's going on in the world of Survivor Island of the Idols. That we met her during Survivor Ghost Island. And much like Chelsea this week, she was somebody who was a winner pick for a lot of people who was taken from us too soon. Please welcome to the podcast, Morgan Rickey. Morgan, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Morgan, I don't normally get to talk to people that are fantastic.
Well, you know, I'm just pooping rainbows today, so we're good.
What was that? You're pooping rainbows?
Yeah, I can't say the other word. People that know me really well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the word, but it's the S-H-I-T word. They always are like, oh, Morgan's just so happy. She's sleeping rainbows.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I've never been that happy. And I don't know if I want to be. But anyway, it's very nice to talk to you about everything that's going on. Morgan, congratulations on your recent wedding this summer.
Thank you so much. Oh, it was so much fun. It was, people say it's like the best day ever, but it really is the best day ever. It was just amazing.
Yeah. And I saw so many pictures of survivors out there, and it was a big crew that you guys had.
We did. We had a large survivor crew at the wedding. Not everyone could come, and unfortunately, not everyone was invited, but I just invited the people that I'm just a lot closer to. There's just some people, when you have a cast of 19 other people, you just don't stay in touch with everyone. That's not reality. So I invited the people that John and I know really well and we stay in touch with, and they come visit me here and I go visit them. So we had a large crew, though. I think there were like 12 or 13 of them that came, well, that were invited to the wedding. So that's a pretty big crew.
Okay. All right. Well, excited to get a chance to talk about everything that's going on here on the Survivor Island of the Idols. Let me ask you that this is a tie into this season. I saw that you recently were visited at your job by Sandra. What was that like, having Sandra encounter some of the killer whales?
It was so fun. She was so excited. I love being able to introduce people to the animals I work with, because not many people get the chance to, you know, meet a killer whale in person, or see a sea lion up close, or meet a giraffe, or whatever animal it is. So it's really cool. you know, just be up close to them and see how large they are and the way they move. And so she was so excited. She had her whole family there and not like her husband, or she had like 20 people with her. So they were all super excited and we just had a great time. Sandra is an amazing person. I had met her before at some of the Hearts of Reality and different charity events for Give Kids the World. So it's always fun hanging out with her.
Now, did she bring any Pomeranians?
She didn't, but she loves her dogs. She loves talking about her dogs. So it's fun. I love people that love their pets.
Okay. So. Did she talk to you about her pets?
She actually didn't. I think she was expecting me to ask a lot of questions about, because she just recently gotten back from playing Survivor. And I didn't really ask anything, but she proceeded to maybe tell me some stuff. I don't know. I don't know if that was correct or if I'm remembering it correctly, but I didn't want to know anything about the game or who did well or who got voted out. She didn't tell me any of that. So she just said, I think, something about Big Statue, which I didn't really get at the time. So yeah. It didn't make sense until I started seeing the season play out. But okay. She did say she was out there, you know, getting dirty with the rest of them. She wasn't like living in luxury at a hotel. So,
well, let's just talk a little bit about what's going on here in this season with the players that are playing. And we saw Chelsea go out this week. And, I knew we were talking and I really feel like there was a lot of parallels between what happened to you and what happened to Chelsea. You go out at similar spots in the game. And again, a lot of people had you as a potential winner of Ghost Island. And a lot of people like myself had Chelsea as a potential winner in this season. Both of you have an advantage in your pocket, not that you could use the legacy advantage, but Chelsea with having the immunity idol and both being big, big fans of the show who worked very hard to get to this place. So what would you say to Chelsea, who was very upset when I had the chance to talk to her the other day?
Yeah, it's just a super big bummer. I mean, it's so hard being a fan for so long and your dream finally comes true and you get to play Survivor and then you expect to make the merge and you think you're just putting yourself in such a good position to get there and then you're absolutely blindsided. I think unfortunately for her, she was like super de-duper blindsided. I kind of had a gut feeling going into Tribal, which wasn't so great, because before Tribal Council, you're like sitting in these tents and no one would make eye contact with me, which was not a good feeling. But it's just hard. There's, you know, she was a big, big, big fan. And it's also hard being a super fan and playing with people that don't really know the game. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of those on my season. And I don't know how many people were kind of recruits on her season, but I feel like my pre-merge group on Ghost Island, most of us were ginormous super fans, which is why everyone was so bummed out with our pre-merge group, because we got voted out so fast and we knew the game and we were trying to make big moves and so it was exciting. It's just hard. It's hard. I feel bad for her. I feel, but she was also kind of getting herself involved in a showman, and you just, you know, it seemed like she left Dean and people were seeing it and being a super fan, like you don't even want to be like involved in that. Like mm-hmm. She would sleep next to him at night and I'll be like, dude, I'm not sleeping next to you. I'm sleeping on the ground or I'm sleeping super far away, because they were targeted as a potential showmance, I feel like.
So I think one of the things that Chelsea was upset with was also that it was sort of people got the wrong idea. And I mean, it's not like a fabrication of the edit, because people on the island were talking about it. But that what she told me in her exit interview the other day was that people got the wrong idea. I guess she was flirty with Dean, but it wasn't like that. It was a full-on romance between her and Dean, and I think that she feels like that as a super fan, that she doesn't want people to be thinking that, you know, she would not know to not get in a showmance on the show.
Right, and it's just so hard because, you know, they're 1 year in age difference. People can say anything, regardless of whether there was a connection or not. All you have to do, I mean, look at Sandra. You make up a rumor, you make up a lie, and if people believe it, then that's it. I mean, you can, Chelsea ended up going home because of a potential showman or whatever, whether it was true or not. Sandra created rumors all the time, and that's how people ended up going home. So I just think there's so many things, like your mind can never shut off on that island. There's so many things you have to think about and people you have to watch. I mean, you could fall asleep for 5 minutes and the whole game changes. So it's just the last thing you're thinking of is, oh, I can't sleep next to this dude because someone might say we have a showman. When honestly, like, that's what she should have been thinking, but there's 150 other things she has to think of. So it's just like, that's what makes Survivor so amazing and so challenging, is there's so much going on. Like Elaine said, she feels like she's constantly behind and doesn't know what's going on. And it's true. If you leave for 5 minutes to go to the bathroom, you come back, it can be a completely different story of what's happening.
Yeah, people don't need to have a good reason to vote you out. They can either make one up or take something that's somewhat innocent and stretch it and spin it whatever way they want to, if they really want to get you out. Let me just ask you from a perspective of what Missy was thinking in this episode. Did you think that that was a good move to get rid of Chelsea? She's part of this women's group for Missy. Do you think that she's better off going with Aaron and some of the guys?
That's such a hard question because it's totally my opinion on this. I'm just not a big fan of the all girls alliances. So I really like Missy. I think she's playing a good game. I'm nervous that she might have done this a little too soon. But that's another thing about Survivor, is you don't know when they're going to say drop your butts. You don't know when a tribe swap is going to happen. So she's building her resume. She reminds me so much of Michaela. She's super smart. She knows all the moves to the puzzle. It's just, when are you going to make those moves to get your puzzle to align? So the girls still have the power. They still have the numbers. I don't know. She's smart. I think she'll be fine, because you don't want the guys to hate you. You know, you need guys in the game. I mean, look at Laurel, Dom, and Wendell. Laurel essentially voted me out and took my place and made it to the final three. And I don't know the girls' personalities on the island, but girls can be mean.
Mm-hmm.
Girls can backstab you like no other. So personally, me, I trust guys more than I trust girls. I mean, look how far Rob got Amber. I mean, there's just so many guys that have gotten girls to the end, or even way throwback, like Kathy and Elizabeth's relationship. I just have that, I don't know. I just like working with guys in the game of Survivor, and I feel like it would have gotten me far, because it got Laurel very far. No offense to Laurel. I just don't think she did a lot in the game, and she didn't make that big move to get Dom or Wendell out. So I don't know. We'll see how this one plays out.
Okay.
But I kind of like the move. It makes for great television too. So I love it for that aspect of it.
Let me play you this question. This is from Paolo in Edmonton and wants to ask you a question about why it seems to be women who suffer in these showmances.
Hi, Rob. This is Paolo from Edmonton here in Canada. I just had a question specifically for Morgan. So in the past, especially in the recent past, we've seen some alliances that have consisted of males and females. And whenever it's the pre-merge, the female is always the one that gets voted out to weaken the males. And we saw it with the Morgan and James Flynn alliance. We saw it with Molly and Jamal and Jack alliance. Molly was voted out. Morgan was voted out. And then in this instance, we saw it with the Dean and Chelsea alliance. Chelsea was voted out. Why do you think that is? Thank you.
And I misspoke when I said in terms of the showmances, but just in terms of men and women working together here in the pre-merge. Yeah, why is it, Morgan, that the women get targeted as half of that pair?
Oh, this is such a good slash hard question. Well, I think there's different reasons. One, I think people are under the notion of keep the tribe strong, keep the tribe strong. Oh, gosh, I'm starting my words. Sorry, let me repeat that again. I think people are under the notion of keeping the tribe strong. And a lot of people, even though it's not always true, look at the females and say, oh, they're weaker, this and that, which isn't always true at all. Oh, gosh, I'm not answering this at all. This is a hard question. There's a lot of... Oh my gosh, I don't even know what to say. This is such a, I need like days to think about this. And yeah. I feel like I could come up with a good answer. I would say,
you know, it's probably, you know, case by case, but I do think that, you know, that, like you said, that there is sort of the mentality of, okay, well, we need the guy who is going to be better potentially at the challenges. I also think that there's still, like, this is factored into that the men tend to find more idols than the women tend to find. And I think that there's this idea that, oh, well, it's safer to vote out the woman because she's less likely to have the idol, too.
Yes, which I don't know. I feel like when people say that, they're playing Survivor scared, like, oh, they have an idol, I can't vote them out. But those are the people you should be targeting. Those are the people you should be trying to get out or splitting the vote or making them play their idols to then vote them out the next time. But that's a totally different topic. When that guy called, it went out a little bit. Was he talking about James Blend and myself?
Yeah, he said that, yes, the two of you as a pair who were working together.
Yeah, James and I were never working together, yeah. Per se.
Well, so you were an original Navidi and he was Malolo.
Correct. And so it was essentially 4 versus 4.
Yeah.
And then Chris went to, because Chris was at Ghost Island, I mean, we wanted to get Angela out. They just thought it was like too good to be true. They thought we had something up our sleeve. So James voting me out, I know exactly why he voted me out. He told me, he said, you were the glue that held everyone together. We all got along because of you. That's how James viewed me. So by him getting rid of me, he felt like he could stir up chaos and it wouldn't be like one big happy tribe. Because when the Malolo folks came to our island, like, I immediately became friends. I immediately became friends with Libby. Like, I got along with James. Laurel and I were great. We had a lot of things in common with volleyball and different things like that. So I felt like I just connected with them on a great, deeper level. So James was like, you were the person to get out because we all got along and you formed friendships so fast that scared him, how quickly I was able to like form friendships and relate with people, which is really funny because the producers thought I would struggle on the like people level, like my people skills. They knew I was athletic and they knew I would thrive in the challenges, but they thought I would ultimately get voted out because I couldn't connect with people, which is the exact opposite. I got voted out because I did connect with people and I was too good with connecting with people. So
they told you that? They said that you can't connect with people?
They just felt like I was going to pay so much attention to the physical game. Mm-hmm. Like they just kept telling me, we know you're an excellent swimmer. We know you were an athlete. I played 3 sports in high school. I was a collegiate athlete, super strong. There's really not much I can't do. I hate to say that. That sounds beyond cocky, but compared to everyone else out there, I mean, I was a collegiate athlete. And so I felt confident in my athletic skills. So when I was interviewing to get on the show, they said, we want to hear you talk more about the people. And I said, I know people make or break the game for you. Like if you lose a challenge, your people skills are number one. I mean, you have to have people skills to make it through. People have to like you. And the problem was people like me too much. Mm-hmm. Like I was so good at building friendships and, I mean, Libby, she's like crying at the water well because she doesn't want to vote me out. We're so close and we have that connection. We get to know each other all of what, 2 days a day, mm-hmm. you know? So I was really good at forming those relationships. And that's what Jane said made me so scary. Everyone knew physically I was fine. A lot of people thought I was like a personal trainer. I got that I was an Olympic swimmer. They knew I was
like Elizabeth.
People all that. Yes. And there's a lot of Olympic swimmers that play on Survivor. So in season 35, they had one. Elizabeth, she was another one. So people, I'm totally going off on a rampage here, but a lot of people thought I was an Olympic swimmer or a swimmer of some sort. And people thought I was lying about it. That was another problem. People thought I was lying about being a super strong swimmer. And I should have just lied about it and said, you're right. You're all right. I am a strong swimmer. So they would have like laid off. But I was like, I'm not a swimmer. I've never been a swimmer because I was a diver. But a few of those swimming challenges, people just saw me swim and they were convinced. And then James just saw that I had really great people skills and I was able to make friends really fast. And for him, I was just scary. So.
Yeah. Look. Being too good at Survivor is, something people, they're going to vote you out. If you stink at everything, then they'll keep you.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was too good at Survivor because I got voted out real quick. So I actually sucked at Survivor.
No, you were too good at it.
I was horrible at Survivor. I did not survive at all. But yeah, Survivor's changed so much. It used to be, you know, keep the strong people around to win challenges, keep the strong people around to win challenges. And then honestly, I feel like the tables have kind of turned a little bit. If people know you're super strong, I mean, they've been getting voted out early. Like I was voted out early. Brendan was voted out early. Some of the stronger people and stronger athletes have been getting voted out early. So I feel like they actually said it this last episode. I'm trying to remember exactly how they worded it, but it was like, keep your tribe strong or keep my group strong. Mm-hmm. And I feel like more people are going towards keep my alliance strong, like keep my people around. Like they don't want to vote off the weak link if they're in their alliance. And Missy said it great. I mean, Missy didn't want to vote off Karishma. Why vote her off now? She's a second vote for Missy. And I think that was amazing thinking on her part, because essentially Karishma is Missy's little puppet. She just tells her who to vote for and Karishma gets to stay in the game longer and she's not a threat. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen her as a physical threat yet or a mental threat. She really doesn't seem to be fighting for her life out there. She's like, yep, oh, I'm the next vote. Like, hope somebody stirs up chaos or I'm going home. So why not keep a player like that in the game longer, or someone that just, you know, lays in the bed all day and doesn't really help out around camp? Or, I mean, we had some people like that on my season and they lasted way longer than the people that were actually like out there to play and make moves. So,
right. Yeah, it does feel like that in this season and definitely like in the beginning of your season that there was some of this of that people, even if it's under one tribe, are sort of like playing like it's the tribe swap. So you have people that are looking, who is the strongest player from the other group of people that I'm dealing with, whether they're in my tribe or not, or from the other tribe, and then voting out whoever the biggest threat is from that group, as opposed to looking at it, hey, we're all wearing the same buff color, let's vote out whoever is the weakest person who's holding us back.
Yeah, the Survivor is so different nowadays because you know there's going to be swaps.
Yeah,
it's not like one team's going to dominate the other, because I honestly don't think Navidi would have ever lost. And the Purple Tribe this season doing very well. Yes, they did lose one time, but they're a pretty strong tribe. So it's just Survivor's changed over the years, and you're just expecting that swap. You're like, oh, I just want to make it to the swap. And you could get screwed there too. But for Karishma, I think it'd be a good thing for her. I think that'll help her, you know, make it much further. Even like Jonathan on my season, you know, Jonathan and Jacob were kind of targeted early as the weak links. I mean, Ghost Island saved Jonathan the first time, and then a tribe swap helped save him, you know, again. So it just, I don't know, it depends. That's part of what I didn't like about Ghost Island, is that you go to Ghost Island and a lot of the time you were safe from tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
And this season, or you draw like a name, like you draw rocks to find out who gets to go somewhere. So like this last episode, it had to be unanimous, or they were just kind of like drawing a name out of a basket. And I don't like the drawing a name out of a basket. I just feel like it's just not really gameplay. You're just having, okay, well, here's what the Survivor gods say. So it's just harder to control your game when you're drawing rocks a lot.
Okay. Let's take another voicemail question. I have one for you that is from a woman I met in New York the other night. Here is Tegwith.
Hi, Rob. My name is Tegwith, and I live in Brooklyn, New York, and actually went to your live know-it-alls this past week and had such an amazing time. And I actually had a question that I thought of during the taping, and that was about Dean and Chelsea. Now, obviously, in this game, just as in life, perception is reality a lot of times. And everyone seemed to perceive that they had a showmance, whereas Chelsea really believed that they didn't. I feel a lot of times that alliances between two guys or two women, they tend to be questioned less and maybe are less likely to be broken up than a man and a woman. And I feel like when they're labeled a showmance, that's the kiss of death. So I was wondering, do you think that there can ever be really a tight alliance between a man and a woman nowadays? Or is that something that really just doesn't happen? Because once you're labeled a showmance, you really can't ever get back out of that. Again, love listening to you. Thank you for everything you do.
Okay. Morgan, what do you think? Can a platonic alliance work? Could a man and a woman on Survivor just be allies and not be targeted?
I definitely think they can, but I think age has a lot to do with it. So I don't think anyone would have ever said, oh, there's a showmance between Dom and Morgan, even though I was super, super close to Dom. Just like back, you know, at the beginning of Survivor with Elizabeth and Pappy, he was so much older than her.
Yes.
And people look at it like a father figure type of thing. And unfortunately, on my season, there weren't a lot of older people, but I wanted to target that older man to kind of take me under his wing. Even like a Boston Rob and Amber, like they ended
Wait,
up.
Hold on. Are you saying that Dominic is like the older guy? He's like the Pascal of the season?
Well, he was like the oldest on our season. I didn't have a lot of choices, Rob.
I hope Dominic's not listening to this.
Dom was laugh. I wanted that older guy. Dom wasn't as old as I was like, but Dom was also very happily married. And I knew the type of player Dom was. I knew he was a Boston Rob-ish type of player. You could just tell that from his personality. So I wanted to be the Amber to his Boston Rob, not the romance part of it at all. You know, I just got married. I've been in a relationship for a very long time, but I feel like females do very well flying under that wing of a man. And then eventually you have to turn on them. And I think that's where Laurel kind of failed, is she didn't end up turning on her protector. And that's why she didn't get any, you know, votes in the finale. She also might not have gotten to the finale if she did that. Who knows? But I definitely think that you can have a male-female relationship in Survivor without being a showman. I just think Dean and Chelsea were so close in age that if you're close in age, that's what people are going to say. Unfortunately, that's just what's going to happen. So I do think it can happen. I think people have done it in the past. I think they've done it very successfully in the past. You just have to be careful what guy you're doing it with. So
always
pick the old married man like Dawn.
No, I think you're onto something here, because where we look at like Malcolm and Denise, that was like another pair that worked. So, I think that having there be a little bit of a divide in terms of age, I think that can be where men and women are seeing, they're just friends. They just get along and we're not seeing them as a threat. And maybe that's like what we end up seeing with Tommy and Janet in this season, where it seems like that they're close allies who are able to work together in that way. But yeah, that's interesting. So is there a good example of, you know, people that are close in age, a man and a woman, who are not seen as a showmance? Or should, if you, you know, are concerned about lowering your threat level, should you like avoid being seen as a tight pair with somebody that people could start the rumor mill up about you?
Right. Well, I'm kind of concerned for Misty right now, because her and Aaron, I mean, they could be considered a showman. Like, they have a lot of similarities. I don't know if either of them are married or what their deal is or really how old they are. But, I mean, she was out on the beach talking to him. People could, now that Chelsea's gone, people could be like, oh, they're working together. Yeah. Maybe they're having a showman. But Chelsea also, like, when people asked her about it, like Elaine was asking her questions, she was laughing and getting all giggly and kind of red, and she wasn't denying anything. And she probably continued sleeping next to him every night. So that's where, I don't know, you just kind of have to distance yourself and be like, look, guys, like, we're in an alliance or we're not in an alliance, whatever she wanted to say, but nothing's going on.
Yeah.
Hence why I slept in the dirt.
Yeah, I think that Missy and Aaron are going to be okay in terms of people thinking that that's a romance. I think that I think people are not going to assume that with the two of them. But let's move on and talk about some other stuff that's going on. We had Nora visit the Island of the Idols. First off, tell me, what do you make of Nora?
Well, I know a lot of people are saying she's like Debbie, and I see that. I understand why they're saying that. She's also very loud and outgoing, which I'm very loud and outgoing, but I just feel like she doesn't know when she should be quiet. Like, she just needs to, like, calm it down a bit, because people are trying to live with you, and that can get annoying really fast. So I think there's a time and a place for her energy and positivity and loudness, and other times she just needs to like slow her roll a bit.
Mm-hmm. So Nora was tasked with that. She had to go to the Island of the Idols to learn this lesson from Rob and Sandra. And Nora got to the Island of the Idols, and she got to see those giant statues, and she noticed them immediately.
I see first a man's face. It's a kind of handsome man's face.
Now, she says that the statue of Boston Rob, it's kind of a handsome man's face. Is she saying that Boston Rob is only kind of handsome?
I think so. She said that before she saw him, though, so I don't know her opinion on him now, but I mean, it's hard to judge a person from a statue.
Okay. Well, she knew it wasn't going to be like a gargoyle that was going to be waiting there for her on the Island of the Idols. And they explained the whole thing to her about being the caller in the challenge. How do you think that Nora handled that?
very poorly.
Do you have a lie that you would have sold to the tribe?
No, I'm horrible at lying. No, I'm so bad. I almost told them 8 million times I had a boyfriend. I tried to lie about that. I don't even know why I tried to lie about that, but I almost split so many times. So no, I'm a horrible liar. I just felt like she came back and she was so excited, talking a million miles an hour, and she just wanted everyone to agree. And then she just, her lie wasn't a good lie, because I feel like she was so excited and so worked up and wanted to make it happen so fast that she just said, "You guys get to pick my role." And they're like, "Cool, yeah, we all agree." And then she's like, "Okay, I'm the caller." And they're like, "But you said we get to pick your role."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yeah, but there's not many roles. Like, there's just, like, right. The caller's one of the roles. There's not many." So I just feel like she kind of got caught in her lie very quickly.
Yes, yes. You know, I have a clip of Nora. This was the tribe cross-examining Nora and the rules that she set up.
Can you explain to the tribe why you think you're the best person to be the caller?
It's already done. I gave you the information, so I already have that role. It can't. It's done.
Wait, well, let's listen to what I'm asking. You got to decide what role you wanted.
That's the only role, is the caller. I don't understand the question.
We had to unanimously decide that you could pick your role. So could you pick your role as a retriever?
Oh, I guess I could. Yeah, I guess I could.
That's so funny. It's so funny.
Yeah, this was really fun, all of Nora going out there. So I have some questions for you about Nora on the Island of the Idols. And let's take a question from another one of our Canadian listeners. Here is Millie from Quebec.
Hi, this is Millie from Two Mountains, Quebec. At the Know-It-Alls, you mentioned how Nora's advantage wasn't truly an advantage, because if she's the caller and her tribe loses, they will say it's her fault and will want to vote her out. If she would then be able to cancel someone's vote at tribal, but still could very easily be voted out. Also, if her tribe wins, she doesn't get anything at all. So my question is, if Nora would have taken the time to think and realize how the advantage doesn't have any true value, you think she could have asked Buzz and Rob to negotiate? For example, could she have asked to get an immunity idol that can be used at her next tribal council whenever that tribal comes? Thank you for your thoughts. Bye.
Yeah, Morgan, this was a question that a lot of people asked in different ways. Could Nora have gotten a lot more than she potentially was trying to get out of this negotiation with Rob?
I mean, yes, potentially. As viewers, we know that, because we know that they'll negotiate with you now because we've seen it. But as a player out there, you're just so excited to get an advantage. Like, just the word advantage or the word idol, you're just like, yes, whatever it takes, I need it. So I wouldn't have thought to negotiate with him. I don't think a lot of people would have thought, like, to negotiate at all, because usually you can't negotiate idols, or you can't, there's really not a lot. We've never seen a season like this, so you're just not used to negotiating for things.
Well, forget trying to negotiate, that Nora was the fastest person ever to say yes. I mean, in terms of driving a hard bargain, that she was 100% on board from the jump. Here is Rob trying to explain what she would have to do.
I love this.
You're going to accept the test.
I'm doing it. Think about it. Chew on your watermelon. I'm doing it. I'm going
to
do it.
You have to weigh the risk and reward.
I'm doing it no matter what. I'm not thinking twice. I'm going to push to be the person that calls it out.
Okay. If you think you can pull it off.
Oh, my God. This is so much fun. Yeah.
Hold on. It's all, if you think you, what? I'm doing it. I'm already there. What are you talking about?
I think that's just her personality. I feel like she's a go big or go home type of personality.
Yeah.
So other people may have thought it through, or, you know, weighed their advantages and disadvantages, and she doesn't care. She just heard the word advantage and she was sold. It didn't matter. I don't feel like it would have mattered if they're like, here, you win some dog food. Like, she was just so excited.
Yeah, she was excited about
everything.
Morgan, listen to her getting a piece of watermelon.
Like,
have you had any watermelon?
Where do you find them?
We have watermelon.
Lord, I've never seen someone so excited.
Oh, my God. Watermelon's one of my favorite things.
Oh, really?
My God.
Okay, however, I would have reacted the exact same way.
Oh, you're a big watermelon person?
Is my absolute favorite food in the entire world, even over ice cream, and I eat ice cream every day of my life. I love watermelon. So you're just something that's so juicy. And, oh, it just would have been perfect. Okay. I would have reacted the same way.
There is a guy from Big Brother this summer also that was a big watermelon fan. I don't know if you follow any of the Big Brother, Morgan.
I don't follow Big Brother, but I knew about it because he's such a big watermelon fan. And I follow watermelon boards on Instagram.
Okay, back up. come back. You follow watermelon boards on Instagram?
There's this Instagram page all about watermelon, different types of watermelon and drinks made of watermelon. It's great. I love
it. And they talked about the guy from Big Brother on there?
No, but I knew that from this is getting
No, this is weird. We're exactly where we need to be right now. So you follow, what is it called? An account?
I don't know what the page is called. I don't know. It's a page all about watermelon and people that love watermelon.
#watermelon?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. It just popped up because I follow the page.
But then it was hey, we got to support this guy on Big Brother. He's a big watermelon guy and a lot of people are against him. And so that he needs our support.
Something. I think it was something like that. I don't remember where I saw it. Probably on my watermelon page. But, there's just people that love watermelon.
Now,
Good for them.
Yeah, Nora, that she loved the watermelon so much, she noticed that Sandra was getting a raw deal also with her slice of watermelon.
Why is there so small?
Why did Sandra get such a small piece of watermelon? What do you think that is?
Well, I would have wanted a big piece of watermelon too, and I probably would have noticed, and then I would have wanted to know more about the watermelon. Like, where did they get it? Can you grow watermelon on the island? Can I find watermelon on my island? Like, all I wanted when I played was a banana. I was hoping there would be bananas somewhere. I look for bananas all the time. There's no bananas out there.
Yeah.
But that would have been a good food to have. But, heck, if I could have watermelon on Survivor that hydrates you and it's like food, that would have been heaven.
Okay. Let me ask you this question about Sandra and Rob. And this is from Eli from New York City.
Hey guys, this is Eli from New York City. So every episode in Island of the Idols, Rob is the one who gets to narrate, explain the rules, explain the games that are going to play. And Sandra is the one on the sideline who, kind of chirps in comments here and there. But it seems like Rob is the only idol the way CBS is portraying it. So what do you think? Is Sandra being disrespected? Let me know.
Oh. All right, Morgan, you know Sandra. Do you think that are they using Sandra enough on the Island of the Idols?
I think so. People look so into this game. I would have never thought of that. Ever. But I think she's completely fine. I mean, she has a 24-foot statue of herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's helping people army crawl across the beach. She's talking about her dog and her family. I mean, I think she has input. I think she talks enough. Yeah, I don't think she's being disrespected.
Yeah.
I think that's just really looking into it.
Then explain this.
Why is this so small?
Why did she get the small piece of watermelon and Boston Rob got a huge slice?
Maybe she wanted a small piece of watermelon. I don't know. I mean, maybe she's the one that cut the watermelon.
Maybe she doesn't like
it. Yeah, maybe she doesn't even like watermelon. I don't know, but I feel like knowing Sandra and her personality, like in real life, she's fine. She's on TV. She's making good money. She's living her life. I don't think she's going to be like thrown off by someone just to speak two more sentences than she does.
It's also possible it was Rob and Sandra's 19th watermelon of the day.
Exactly.
That is possible also. But it is weird that nobody else got a snack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I thought the watermelon was going to be part of the lesson on persuasion. I thought they were going to, like, hey, come on into the snug, have some watermelon. And then, like, they're going to cut it and then say, okay, so you see this watermelon? Whoa, you'd want it, right?
Your Boston Rob accent is really good.
Oh, thank you.
Two, I would have asked for more watermelon. You got more? Or can I take some back? I could share this with the tribe. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I would have wanted more watermelon. I may have forgotten about the advantages. There's watermelon in front of me.
No, Morgan, you're a longtime fan of the show. So did you like seeing all the different flashbacks that they showed? And if you did, do you have a favorite that they showed from those clips?
I like seeing the flashbacks. I know a bunch of people complained about it. Oh, they're trying to make these people relevant again. As a like super fan, I think it's cool to be reminded.
They never stopped being relevant.
But it's fun. Like, poor Eric, though. I mean, gosh, he's had to relive that moment how many times? Over and over and over. So I don't know. I don't mind the flashbacks.
Yeah. There were some fun moments there in the flashbacks. I mentioned this the other night when Boston Rob told the story to Nora about how Lex didn't get give him his vote, which cost him the game. Rob was telling him.
But in hindsight, I ultimately didn't get his vote at the end of the day. So some would argue that he had the last laugh.
Like, that was not the appropriate reaction to Rob telling her how he lost Survivor All-Stars, right?
Correct. But I feel like ultimately Boston Rob actually has the last laugh because he's married to Amber, they have four beautiful kids, and he's still playing Survivor. Like, he's still relevant. He's still, like, Boston Rob. His name hasn't faded. It hasn't gone away. So even though he might not have won that season, I feel like he's won overall.
Now, there was another moment that they showed where about one of the ways to be persuasive, they showed Parvati and then talked about how Parvati in her clip was talking about how she flirts with the guys. Here's a little clip of Parvati in action with Adam from her season.
You could appeal to, like, someone's ego.
Yeah, that helps.
You're a little baby monkey.
Yeah, your baby monkey.
Now, hold on a second here. I just want to get this flirtation lesson down. This is what you say?
You're a little baby monkey.
Yeah, your baby monkey.
Parvati asks Adam, are you my baby monkey? And he says, I'm your baby monkey. I don't know a lot in this area, but I don't know if I want a woman to ever refer to me as a baby monkey.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's kind of weird. But, you know, whatever works, works. So good for Parvati that it worked.
If you want to be a master of flirtation, you got to call people a baby monkey. Now, in terms of as somebody who works with animals, baby monkey, I mean, they are cute, right?
Yeah, they're cute. Some people think human babies are cute. It's just kind of your opinion. They're really hairy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would rather be called other things that are
There's
babies.
Better but... animals to be called than, than a baby monkey.
Yeah, baby monkey probably wouldn't be my choice of flirting with a male.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I haven't talked about this too much, but I really am enjoying Jamal this season. I think that Jamal is a really interesting character on this season. I think he's going to bring a lot to the table. You know, he had the rug pulled out from under him on the Molly vote, but I think he's going to still be a force to be reckoned with. Do you have any thoughts about Jamal?
Yeah, I think he definitely has his head on straight. And I mean, now he has an idol in his back pocket. But he is opposite of Karishma, I feel like, in that, you know, he really got his feelings hurt and he wasn't included in the vote, and he's not going to let that happen again. And he would do anything in his power to kind of turn the tables around. And I think he did that by finding an idol. I also thought it was really interesting that the tribe, like, all just went off into the water and, like, left one person at camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they left him alone. Well, I know they left Jason, too, because then he comes out. Like, I think Jason must have been doing his own hunt for the idol, because then he came out and Jamal was back sitting in the chair.
True. So that, but still odd, but whatever. But I think Jamal has his head on straight. I think it's so funny. Once you make it through the first tribal council, you learn so much. Unfortunately, I didn't make it through the first tribal council, but there were just a lot of signs, a lot of body language that you just don't see or don't notice until you make it through. For example, Libby, like, once we got to tribal, we were like getting ready to go. She completely broke eye contact, was just acting very differently, which is why in tribal, I was like, Libby's so great. Libby's so awesome. I'm like, basically like, come on, girl, just hang with me. Like, I know you have other thoughts going in your head and no other people have talked to you. Like, I'm just coaxing her. Like, we're good, Libby. I still love you, Libby. All is well. But I was getting signs right before tribal, and then I just didn't have enough time to talk them through. And I feel like it was talked about, I think it was this last episode, where you don't want to let, like, paranoia set in.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you've seen that on so many seasons of Survivors. People get paranoid and they start overreacting, and their name wasn't even, you know, one of the names thrown out there, but then they end up getting voted out because of it. And that's something that I didn't want to get paranoid. I'm just like, just don't get paranoid. And now I wish I would have been more paranoid. But yeah, once you make it through that first tribal council, you know how people react when they're going to vote you off or when they get nervous or not even vote you off. But like, Donna Wendell learned so much from me getting voted off. Like, James stopped having eye contact. Libby stopped having eye contact. Their mannerisms were different. So getting through that first vote where I got voted off, Dom and Wendell learned so much from that. And they were like, oh, hell no, this ain't happening again.
Mm-hmm.
Game's on. Like, it really gave them like a reality check. And I feel like that's what happened for Jamal. Like, he got a huge reality check. And I feel like he's in a good headspace now to be like super duper aware. So I'm excited to see kind of where his gameplay goes.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I wonder if there's any research that we can do on this of the people who go on to win the game, who survived a near-death experience in the game where basically they got blindsided, their ally went home, and then it was like a wake-up call. And for Dominic and Wendell, that they were fortunate that it happened so early in the game that they were able to sort of then play the rest of their game with that in their mind, where that usually for survivors, everything goes your way until a point that you're out of the game. And then you end up that's how you learn that lesson. And unless you get to play again, you basically like take that lesson with you out in real life and not on Survivor, where for somebody like me, I didn't get to know what that feels like to, you know, have that rug pulled out under you until the second time that I played. But now it's something that now I know what that feels like. So,
right. And even like Chris Noble, he was at a disadvantage because he had never been to tribal. I mean, he got voted out with an idol in his pocket. So I feel like had he gone to tribal before, like that could have potentially helped him out. The first time he went to tribal, he got voted out.
Yeah.
So he never had that big like wake up call or this is how people act, or he didn't even know like what tribal is about or how Jeff Probst asked questions. Like, he didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I feel like, yeah, it's a reality check. It's a wake up call. And Dom and Wendell luckily had that very early, and they were like, oh crap,
right,
game on. Like, so it would be a cool statistic to find out.
Yeah, Natalie Anderson off the top of my head is somebody else that, you know, Jeremy got blindsided, and that was really what sort of, you know, that happened to her, and that the people lied, you know, everybody lied to me. Oh, okay. I get it. This is how it works. And then,
And I feel you hate to say, like, had I gone to a tribal before that and not gotten voted out, like, I feel like if I just would have made it through the first tribal council, I would have done so well in the game, because then you see how people react when they get nervous or they're under pressure or they're lying. You just see it all. And looking back on it, like, oh, you just know. Like, you just know.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many signs that I didn't know until it was too late.
Okay. Here's a question for you. This is from Adam from Los Angeles. And this is what Adam wants to ask about.
Hey, Rob. Adam from Los Angeles here. First off, I want to say that I definitely know who you are. I love you on All Stars, and I really respect how you always wear that Boston hat, you know, representing your team and all. Again, I definitely know who you are. So my question is about Elaine and Sandra on this episode. So during the tribal council, Elaine did that whole thing where she said, I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm just confused out here. I don't know what's going on. And in my opinion, this is strategy. She knows exactly what's going on. But then we cut to Sandra, who says to Rob, that girl don't know what's going on. She never knows what's going on. What am I supposed to think about Sandra in this moment? Because in my opinion, the show's kind of trolling Sandra. Did you guys get this opinion when you saw that moment? I'd love to know what you think. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay, this is interesting. So Adam talks about Elaine at least saying she doesn't know what's going on, but then Sandra getting on her for not knowing what was going on. But Elaine did know what was going on because she's part of this vote to blindside Chelsea.
Talk to one person, it's like, oh yeah, this is what we're doing. And then 10 minutes later, it's something totally different. So, I mean, I don't really know what's going on.
This one never knows anything.
Yeah, but I don't know. What are we supposed to make about this? Our teachers are getting tricked.
So I definitely feel like this is part of Elaine's strategy. And I 100% feel like she knows what's going on. It's just like, oh, well, I'll just play this out so people will think I'm, you know, not as strong and, you know, not as into the game. Like, I'm just not paying as much of attention. But you also, like, Sandra isn't seeing them at camp life. She isn't seeing them day to day. So I don't blame her for being like, this girl. If Sandra was playing the game side by side with Elaine, Sandra, the queen, would know Elaine knows what's going on. But she's not.
Yeah.
She's not. She's out there all the time. She's seeing that little box at Tribal. So what she's seen from Tribal is Elaine, what I think is really good acting on her part. And Elaine's just not giving Jeff everything that she knows, which a lot of people do. They don't want to talk to Jeff. They don't want to say everything that's happening. But then there's some people that do. So you just have to be careful what you say at Tribal and how much you say. So I think it's an act. We'll see how far it gets during the game.
Yeah. This was Elaine after hearing that Aaron wanted to vote out Dean this week.
Holy crap. Aaron's wanting to go for Dean. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, but because she said no, then it got switched to Chelsea. Like, Elaine's involved. She's 100% involved. Because she told, you know, them that she didn't want to vote out Dean. So then Missy ended up changing it to Chelsea. I think it's all an act. Works out well for a lot of people. We'll see how it does for Elaine. Her accent helps, too.
You know, I started talking about Jamal. I didn't play the clip that I wanted to set up about Jamal when he was left all alone. I think that Jamal is such a great speaker, and he puts everything in like a very interesting way. So this was Jamal talking about his situation in the game and also his reflections on life.
Dealing with change has been my whole jam for the past few years. I was in a rough relationship.
Dealing with change has been Jamal's jam for the last few years, okay?
Yeah.
I was not treating myself with grace, and I was not feeling great about myself.
And he wasn't treating himself with grace. So that's important also. I didn't even ever think to treat myself with grace.
And the end of that relationship was really trying for me. But the lesson that I learned from that was how to take things in stride, to move really slow, not get too worked up about things, be in tune with my surroundings, and be here in space and now in time. Because when you're present, when you're observant, when you're connected in the here and now, moments reveal themselves to you.
This whole monologue, or as I call it, a Jamalologue, that this is like, this plays like, you ever watch The Masked Singer and then they introduce the character and there's like the whole montage of the person like describing their life in riddles? That's what it sounds like, what Jamal is talking about himself in the third person.
Jamal would be a good public speaker, I feel like. He has a way with words and storytelling, which is probably why he's on Survivor.
He's fantastic.
He's a great storyteller. Yeah, he's really great. But I think that's part of, I think he's going to do so well in the game because of it. He sounds extremely intelligent, very perceptive. He seems just very in tune with kind of, again, he had that reality check at, you know, the mm-hmm. tribal council. And I think he's going to do well. I hope he does well. He seems just like a really smart, intelligent, perceptive individual. So it'd be interesting to see.
Okay. Got some more questions for you, Morgan. Let me play one for you from Mike in D.C.
Hey, Robin, Morgan, Mike in D.C. So as someone who also works with animals, I've always figured operant conditioning would actually be super useful out on the island, just so you could, you know, know when to reinforce your tribe mates for talking strategy with you, LRS all their stupid ideas. Any chance we'll see that out on the island of the idols is a lesson. Bye.
Okay. Morgan, do you know what he's talking about?
Yes, I do.
Can you explain it to us?
I'll do it like long story short. So basically what he's saying is when people do something you want, you draw a lot of attention to it. It's just like a child who cleans their room. If the first time they clean their room, they get a cookie, and the next time they clean their room, they get to go to the park. And every time they clean the room, even if it's just appraisals, good job, that's what I wanted you to do, a child is more likely to want to clean their room. Whereas if they clean it and the parent doesn't even notice it, they don't say good job, the child gets nothing for it, not a sticker on their chores chart or anything, they're not really going to want to clean their room. Mm-hmm. So basically, as animal trainers, we draw attention to the behavior we want to see. So we give a lot of positive reinforcement. We never say no or bad job or that's not what we wanted you to do. There's no form of punishment whatsoever. And then if a child or an animal does something we just simply didn't ask for, we just ignore it for about 3 seconds. And that's that LRS that he's talking about. It's called the least reinforcing scenario. But it's a lot harder with people. People try to do it with their kids. I don't have kids yet, so I haven't tried it yet. But with humans, it's just harder because people can talk back. So it's like your kid's throwing a temper tantrum in a store. What we would do is just simply ignore it and not draw attention to the behavior. But what a lot of parents do is give their kid anything to get them to be quiet because the child's embarrassing them and they just want to get out of the store as quickly as possible. So I think using operant conditioning in Survivor would be really challenging. Like if Nora is being super loud and annoying and you just want her to be quiet, ignoring her might work.
Ignore her?
It might work, or she might just get louder and more in your face because you're not paying attention to her. And it's just so hard with humans. It could go either way. But it should work. It just depends on the behavior that you're wanting to extinguish or the behavior you're wanting to see.
Okay.
This is a very deep question, and I could really go into this.
Mike knows his stuff. I know
that
Mike.
Guy call me up on the phone. This is harder to explain quickly on a short little podcast. But I would love to have like a 5-hour conversation with that guy. And Survivor, I don't know. You're just trying to get by. You're just trying to survive. So I don't know. I don't know if I would use operant conditioning out on the island because, or you could just walk away from the situation. That's probably what I would do. But.
And is that what Parvati was doing when she was doing?
Oh, baby monkey.
Yeah, your baby monkey.
Was she trying
to
get Adam to think he was a baby monkey so that she could use operant conditioning on him?
She was reinforcing him. She was letting him know that she really liked
good
him.
Good monkey.
And he was her baby monkey. And yeah, you know, maybe she has a way with humans and animals.
Okay. I would suspect she does. You know, while we're talking about this animal talk, I noticed that Rob said something about Nora after his interaction with him. And I want to get your take on this.
She's living in Nora world. This is Survivor. You got to be in Survivor world.
Okay. Now, as somebody who lives in Orlando and is in the theme park world, all right, what, first off, where would you rather go, Nora World or Survivor World?
Survivor World. I'm too much like Nora. I think we're both loud and outgoing. So two of us would, I don't know how that would go.
Nora World would be a trip.
It would be a trip.
Yeah.
I could do well in her world. I just don't know how long I could do well in her world.
Okay. So what would the attractions be at Survivor World?
Oh, golly. There could be so many. Are we doing rides or are we doing like, I imagine like, oh gosh, my brain's going 100 miles an hour right now. Survivor World. It's kind of like Ghost Island. Wasn't that kind of like Survivor World?
Was it? I don't know.
Island, and there's like, I wasn't there either, but you see all these like old idols and different things from the game. Yeah. I feel like that was kind of like Survivor World. All these old replicas like coming back to haunt you.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Are there actual survivors walking around the theme park, or they're sort of like the like costumed versions of the survivors that you can take pictures with?
I feel like it's like the costumes or like ghosts of survivors from the past.
That's it. Survivor World. And then also Rob said this about Nora, and I want to get your reaction to this.
She definitely is perceptive. The question is her perception reality?
So Nora is perceptive, but is her perception reality? Can you be perceptive to something that is not reality?
Well, Boston Rob does, so I guess so.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around what he's saying, because he says that she is perceptive, but is what she is perceiving reality? So it seems like that he's saying that she's very good at perceiving something that's a different reality. But I feel like that the definition of perceptive is that you can see the reality. So
exactly. No, I agree with you.
He's melting my brain.
Perceptive. I don't think she's perceptive at all to what's actually going on around her in reality.
She's excitable.
She's in tune with her own feelings and emotions and perceptive about how she feels, I guess. But I don't think she has any idea what people like actually. And maybe she does. Like Debbie knew she was kind of crazy, and she knew people thought she was kind of crazy, maybe to not the extent that, you know, people felt. But I feel like Nora has to have like a kind of grasp on how she is. Like, I'm very loud, like over the top loud, and I know sometimes I have to like wheel that in a little bit because it can get annoying. I'm always acting like I'm talking to 6,000 people in a stadium, and I'm not. You're right in front of me. People are like, Morgan, like lower the volume, inside voice. And I'm like, I don't have an inside voice. I'm aware of that, but sometimes I have to be reminded. And I feel like that's a little bit how Nora is. Like, she's probably somewhat aware, maybe not fully aware, and she just kind of needs to be reminded. But, I feel like that was a very
hard challenge for her to get to be the caller. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Lauren was so funny. I was like laughing at my TV when she was like, Nora, when they were like, who's sitting out? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
that was great. That was like great television right there. Like, I loved that moment that Lauren didn't even hesitate. And she was like, Nora, she's out. Like, they're just totally called her bluff and like her lie and was just like, you're not playing now and you would be a horrible caller. Goodbye. Right.
That got a huge laugh in the room at a live show when that happened.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
I wanted to ask you about another moment from the challenge. And so we saw Elizabeth as the caller for Lairo, and then we saw Jason as the caller for Vokai. But as we saw Elizabeth trying to call things out, Tommy was making some noises. That's Nora laughing
that
at the
end.
That
was fantastic.
Yeah. So can you identify that bird call?
No, I actually can't. I don't know all my birds. There's a lot of birds. But that was another great television moment. Like, Jeff Probst had to be, like, right there just like, this is going to make dang good TV. Because mm-hmm. it was so funny.
Yeah,
and that was the moment that, like, Missy really, really reminded me of Michaela. I was like, dang, this girl is a lot like Michaela. You know, she was cussing. She was like, I don't know if he pushed her or she pushed him. She's like yelling, shut up. Like, that was like television gold right there. That was a fun moment to watch.
Okay. Let me give you some more questions from our listeners. Nick Snow wants to know, are you surprised that Karishma was included in the Chelsea vote? Or was that the women trying to get her back in on the good side, knowing a swap was coming soon? Now, Karishma, she's been sort of on the outs for these last couple episodes. She has not felt good, but she got brought in on the Chelsea blind side. Do you think that was interesting?
I'm not surprised by that. Like Missy said, why have one vote when you can have two? That's kind of like a Contact reference. Have you ever seen that movie? I love that movie.
Contact anyway, with Jodie Foster?
Yes. It's like, why only build one when you can buy two for twice the price or something like that?
What was that? Like the thing to contact the aliens?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
They built the first one. We're totally going off topic here. They built the first one and it like blew up.
Yes.
And the guy that was like living in space was like, why have one when you can have two for twice the price or something like that? I love that movie.
Yes, they had a backup. They were like terrorists that blew up the first one.
Yes.
What are you
totally
really, Morgan, are you really into aliens, that you're into animals? Is aliens like an offshoot of like life on other planets also?
I like learning about space. We know more about space than we know about the depths of the ocean. So I think it's just really cool and interesting. I was Jodie Foster from that movie for an in-character speech in sixth grade. So I was that nerd of a child.
Yes.
Other people are like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, and I'm like a character from Contact.
Did you start with Space is My Jam? That
space is my jam.
We're not treating space with a lot of grace right now.
I love space. But back to the question. We went off on watermelon tangents, space tangents.
Mm-hmm.
Missy just got to tell Karishma what to do. She had two votes. I think Karishma is playing like, I'll do whatever anybody wants me to do as long as it's not my name on the parchment.
Yes.
And that's something
the Sandra strategy.
Hate. Yeah, but that's something producers hate as well. They'd rather you go out swinging than just like, well, it's going to be me. There's nothing I can really do about it. Why not? I don't even remember the question now, but why not draw Karishma back in? Because she's going to do whatever you want. She's like a little puppy dog that's just like following you around. I'll do whatever you want. Just don't get rid of me. Don't vote me off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was smart on Missy's part. Bring her back in, reel her in. She'll do whatever you say. long as it's not her name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you don't screw her over, she's happy. If you screw her over, she's gone anyway. So,
Mike Herms wants to know, could Morgan outswim Janet and Elizabeth?
Ooh, definitely not Elizabeth. She is an Olympic swimmer. I was never a swimmer. I was a diver, but mm-hmm. I am a very good swimmer. I practice swimming. We have swim tests that we have to take with my job, and there's different depths we have to go down to. So I've swam, 40 feet down. But I think Janet, I could outswim. She probably, it depends. I think Janet is a lifeguard. She practices all the time. She's athletic. So I think the endurance is there for her. So it's like a cross country meet. I'm better at track, not cross country. I don't do long distances. So, I'm very quick for short distances. So I feel like in that challenge, I definitely could have outswam her, but she's been a lifeguard like forever. So she's definitely an amazing swimmer with waves and water and, all those other circumstances. But Elizabeth, oh, hell no. That girl would kick my butt.
Okay. This is a question from Felipe. Felipe says, as somebody who played closely with both Dominic and Wendell, and we're also on a tribe with Laurel, how would you have cast your vote between them if you were a juror? Have you given thought to this?
Oh, yeah. I would have gone Dom 1,000%. And Wendell knows this. I've said it before. I love Wendell. We are great friends. But Dom's name was on the chopping block from day one. From day one, the moment we stepped on the island, Dom was targeted. And he made it through until the end. And I feel like Wendell, and again, I wasn't there. I got voted out early, so there's many things I'm sure I don't know or I didn't see. But I felt like Wendell was more of Dom's right-hand man, and Dom was kind of making the ballsier moves.
Mm-hmm.
Laurel would not have gotten my vote. I love Laurel. I think she's an amazing human being. She is the sweetest person ever, but like strictly from gameplay, she didn't do anything, in my opinion. She didn't make that big move that, oh my God, blowing my phone in, it's dying. She didn't make that big move that everyone was waiting for her to make.
Okay.
They were waiting for her to turn on Dom or turn on Wendell or just do something. And she just didn't kind of fulfill everyone's dreams by doing that.
Okay. Let me give you a question from Andy Pfeiffer, who I think is your biggest supporter.
Andy's the best. I'm going to have to plug my phone in, which might be a problem because my headphones are in my phone, but we still got 10%. Andy is amazing. I need to meet him because every single week he tweets out to Jeff Probst and Matt Van Wigman, all those guys, to have me play again. I've never had a fan so big. He's so sweet.
Yeah. So he has a question for you.
Hi, Robin Morgan. Andy Pfeiffer calling with his obligatory voicemail. So my question is, with what happened in Ghost, which I'm obviously still not over, and now with Molly and Chelsea, is it safe to say that any bright, bubbly female who knows the game of Survivor is forever doomed to be labeled a big threat like Parvati 2.0 and targeted early? How would you go about avoiding that when you play your second time? Thanks, and I promise to keep annoying Jeff about that. Wink, wink.
Is there something to that where, athletic woman who comes in who knows the game immediately, everybody's like, oh, got to get rid of this person?
I mean, yeah, that's the way I perceive it. If you're a strong female, it can be intimidating. I mean, especially when you're playing in Fiji, where there's a lot of swimming challenges and a lot of different challenges, especially for me, we were in the water a lot. So people thought I was an Olympic swimmer. They thought I was a strong swimmer, or they thought I was a personal trainer. They knew I was an athlete. And I was a super fan. And we, yeah, I think people target strong females. That's final answer. I think when you get down to individual immunity challenges, it's kind of anyone's game. And like you saw with Chelsea on my season, I know people didn't see a lot of her, but I think I would have done very well. I think I could have given Chelsea a run for her money and a lot of those challenges that she won and she did so well in. Chelsea played a very quiet game at the beginning, very quiet. And then she pretty much, like, at least when I was around her, love Chelsea. These are just my opinions from when I play. But she sat around a lot. She didn't do a whole lot. Her and Dez kind of were just quiet and sat, like, on the bed and didn't really have a lot of input that I saw. Now, they also weren't in my alliance when we were 5-5, put on Navidi. But they just weren't a threat.
Morgan, who had more confessionals? Chelsea on your season or Chelsea on this season?
Oh, Chelsea on this season, I think.
We'll have to check. Check the count. Check the tape.
I don't know. Maybe Chelsea. I don't know. I just feel like Chelsea on my season just didn't have a lot of airtime at all.
Yeah, so, I've heard that.
Yeah. She's a very nice person, though. I really enjoyed her.
Mm-hmm.
She's just quiet and didn't do a whole lot when I played. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a question from Odefe, who says, do you think it's still a big deal to get voted out with an idol now that idols are so frequent? And it happened to experienced players like Wentworth and Aubrey. After all, a blindside is a blindside, idol or no idol. Is there less of a stigma now to get voted out with an idol?
I don't think so. That's just because I'm a super fan. I'm like, oh my gosh, they went home with an idol. I still say that every time. I think it's a big deal. Idols make people feel safe. I think idols make people feel too safe.
Too safe.
And I think that's one of, I answered that Dom Wendell Laurel question very quickly. Dom, and many reasons why I would vote for Dom, I would have voted for Wendell too, but you can't vote for Dom. But Dom had idols and had advantages, and he used them correctly, but I feel like he never felt safe. Like, yes, he had it in his back pocket and that allowed him to make big moves, but he was always super hyper aware. And again, I think that goes back to the vote where I got voted out, is that was a reality check and it was a wake up call. And he never everyone's texting me now too. Oh my gosh. He never forgot that feeling. He never got rid of that feeling. He's like, at any point in time, I could go. So I think it helps Dom and Wendell both that they both had idols and then Dom got that advantage from me. And he has said to me multiple times, I'm like, it didn't do you any good. It didn't help you. And he's like, it did. It did help me. It gave me reassurance that if I needed to use my idol, I had another one. Or it gave me extra confidence, something in my back pocket. So it allowed me to make those huge moves and the big moves in the game that I needed to make.
Okay. Lyndall from Australia says, again, we didn't see a convo about the Island of the Idols between two people on a tribe who've been there. How long is the show going to pretend people aren't talking about it? Will there be a big reveal at the merge? Will they keep up the illusion nobody is talking even after every person has been there? Now, were you with the first two people that went to the Ghost Island, right? Was it Jacob and then Donathan?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you still, did they swap the tribes then right after that? Or did they, did they have time to talk in your season?
I don't think they had, they didn't have time to talk.
Yeah.
But I, oh my gosh, there's so much I could say about that. But I wanted Jacob to go back to Ghost Island because
stuff.
I got an advantage from him the first time and I wanted less people to know about it.
Yeah.
And that benefited me. So when they were like, oh, who do you guys want to send? Everyone's like, Jonathan. I'm like, no, I want to send Jacob. And I felt like if Jacob didn't go to Ghost Island, he was going to get voted off, and I didn't want him to get voted off. So I would have loved to for Jacob to have gone back and a stronger, quote-unquote, stronger person get voted off, which essentially probably would have been Donathan.
Mm-hmm.
And Donathan made it really far in the game. So it's funny how little things like that can throw off the whole game. Or like this whole Island of the Idols. Some people were picked to go to the island, and then this last time they had to like draw, you know, names or make it unanimous. Like I am just not a fan of when it changes like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, like Jacob gave me an advantage, and then we ended up drawing names. I just don't like the whole rock drawing names, leaving it to fate type of thing.
Right.
So,
okay.
And had I gone to Ghost Island and not Chris, like I would have been safe. Like, mm-hmm. Or if Chris had been not on Ghost Island, he may have gone home. Like, you just don't know what could happen. So,
James Lim wants to know when,
oh gosh,
or who is the next Ghost Island wedding?
Oh, Sebastian and Jenna.
Yeah, it's got to be. And is that going to be soon, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I don't like putting pressure on people to get married. Yeah, I feel like they're in such a good place. They're so cute together. I love them. They now live like,
on a boat.
They're like basically living the below deck lifestyle right now. Mm-hmm. So I used to see them all the time because we only lived like 45 minutes apart, and I would go to the beach and see them all the time. Now I don't see them as much. They're kind of like out of, you know, they don't have a lot of cell service all the time and all that. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that would be the next big Ghost Island shebang. But I love how close our cast is. Like, you know, I mean, even the people I don't talk to all the time, I just feel like because we were all so close in age, there wasn't a huge age range that it's just cool. We all like hanging out and we all get along pretty well. So,
okay. Let me ask you this question from one of our listeners, Jeff.
So Dean was totally naked during that one confessional, right? Is it just me? What is his deal?
Do you know what Jeff is talking about, Morgan?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Dean, there's one point where Dean is doing a confessional and he's sitting down behind a bush and you see his knees sticking out and you see he has no shirt on. And Jeff is saying that he thinks that Dean was naked.
I doubt he was naked. That would be real awkward talking to the producers naked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean,
if anybody
maybe
can do it.
That's what floats his boat, but I don't think he was naked.
Okay. All right. Let me give you then this question from another one of our listeners who wants to talk about one of Jeff Probst's interviews this week. There's Jared from Seattle.
Hey, Rob. This is Jared from Seattle. Now, I don't know if you guys read the weekly Dalton interviews with Jeff, but this episode, he had a particularly bizarre response. Dalton asks him about the upcoming tribe swap, and Jeff goes into great detail about what a tribe swap is, and I honestly can't tell if he's being sarcastic or not. Is Jeff finally starting to lose it, or is it just me?
Okay, so let me, you be the judge, okay, Morgan? Let me tell you about what the question was, and let's look at Jeff's answer, okay? Dalton Ross asks Jeff, finally, looks like it's time for a tribe swap next week. What can you tell us? And Jeff said, I love it when I know the answer to one of your queries. Okay, let me explain. So a tribe swap is a phase that indicates players on all tribes will have to draw new buffs and potentially swap tribes. It's designed to mix up the game by forcing you to form new relationships and test the strength of existing alliances. It doesn't always happen that you actually swap tribes. Sometimes you end up on the same tribe. Crazy! But technically, this moment is still referred to as a swap, aka a switch. It's something that we did in our third season in Africa, and it was met with a lot of controversy. Oh boy, fans hated it. They thought it was so unfair. Fortunately, Survivor doesn't have controversial twists anymore, other than when I don't wear a blue shirt. Other than that, our audience adores everything that we do, and they have for many years now. I can't think of the last time someone complained about a creative idea. Anyway, so yes, from 3,000 feet, that is the working and current definition of the Survivor tribe swap. But since I still have a few characters to use, I can give you a bit of a tease for next week. Our biggest reward of the season and another killer tribal council.
He is being so sarcastic.
Yes, okay. He's trolling the readers. Is he messing with Dalton?
I think he's trolling everybody because he knows that the fans complain about any new change or anything. I mean, I'm not a fan of Tribe Swap, but I think they create better players and they kind of show you where you are in your game. Obviously, I'm not a fan because I got voted out. But some people love Tribe Swap. Like Karishma, that might be a great thing for her. But he's just totally being a smart ASS.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I love about Jeff Probst. He can do whatever he wants.
Like, is this like a filibuster? Does he have to answer like two paragraphs per question?
I don't know. But I mean, Jeff Probst is so fun. He's a great in person as you see on TV. Like he's really good at his job.
Okay. All right, let me see. Josh Green wants to ask you, I think it's a great time to be talking to Morgan as somebody who was swap screwed. His question is, when you get to the swap, are there any tells or things to look for to see if people will flip on their old tribe? Morgan, what should we be looking for next week?
Oh, gosh. That's a great question. I mean, there's a lot of people in this season, like Aaron is one of the people that like really wants to play the game. He seems like he wants to make a move. He wants it to be his move. So I could see him kind of getting like overexcited and like, yay, there's finally people like on my tribe that want to play the game with me as well. And he's someone that hopefully doesn't, well, it depends on the swap. I mean, like, if Missy's still with him, I think he'll hang with her and not jump ship on her because she's been making big moves, too. But people want to make big moves, and that was part of, like, what I wanted to do. We finally had, you know, the chance to make a move, and I wasn't super close with Angela. Chris and Angela were close, and Chris was gone, so I thought it was a good time to kind of make a move. And Don, Wendell, and I all agree we were all three pretty close, and you know, James and Laurel, Jonathan and Olivia just all thought it was too good to be true. It was just too good to be true. Like, how could they be asking us to vote off like a member of their own tribe, and then we have like, then it's tied 4-4 again. So swaps are hard because every swap is different. You don't know if it's going to be a big swap or you're just losing like one person and gaining new one person. It kind of just depends on your numbers mm-hmm. and what people are willing to do. But I mean, swaps are hard. That's why Jeff loves them, because it totally stirs up the game. Zavidi was so strong. Without a swap, we would have demolished Malolo. I mean, we didn't do well when we did the tribe swap. We didn't have our puzzle makers, puzzle solvers, Bradley and Kellen, and Malolo ended up getting them. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on kind of, how the numbers lie and kind of what people are willing to make moves. And that was not a great answer to that question at all. So that's a hard question. That's a hard question. You say like, oh, look for the connection.
Yeah, that's like what Jeff Probst did to Dalton Ross.
Yeah, I just did the same thing. You can look at the relationships, but I had good relationships with people and I still got screwed. That's mm-hmm. why I got screwed over. So you just don't know kind of what people are looking for. Do they want to vote out the strong people because they feel like a merge is coming soon? Do they want to vote out the people that have strong relationships? Are they still looking to vote out the weak link because you're not going to help us win? The game of Survivor is so different than it used to be. It was always vote out the weak person. We don't want to lose and go back to tribal, but it's just not like that anymore.
Okay. And then finally, Jacob Brabant asks you, which cute blonde would you trust the least this season? And I have some bad news. I don't know. Do we have a cute blonde?
Elizabeth Blonde.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there any other? I don't know if there's any other blondes.
It's an older cast.
Yeah. Lauren's blonde-ish.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so Lauren does have blonde hair. Okay, so would you say Lauren? Is Lauren the cute blonde to not trust?
I think Lauren's very smart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Elizabeth and, well, I don't know. I'd probably trust Elizabeth and she'd freaking screw me over. So, just blonde in trouble.
Mm.
Hey, that was a good, I'm very proud of that line. Because I, like, completely blacked out. Like, I don't remember grabbing my torch. I don't remember walking up to the
guest. It was a good moment.
I don't remember him snuffing my torch. I don't remember turning around and saying any of that. So when I saw it on TV, I was like, dang, that was a pretty good one-liner there. I was, very proud of myself.
No, you have to give credit to anybody that says something that makes sense as they're walking out.
Yeah, a lot of people are just like, good luck, or bye, or screw you, you know. I was, like, very proud of that one liner of mine. I was like, okay, I got voted out, but at least I got a little something in there. But people don't understand why I said that either, because they're like, James and Laurel, like, really did that to you, but you just didn't see how close Libby and I were. I know we talk about the Castle Girl stuff and all that, but I really enjoyed Libby. I really enjoyed spending time with her. We had a lot of similarities besides the Castle Girl stuff. So I really enjoyed her company. I did trust her. She had a very difficult decision to make. And so it was more hurtful that she wrote my name down than a James or a Laurel. Like I like James and I like Laurel, but I wasn't as close to them as I was Libby. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Morgan, what else is going on that you're a newlywed? You're back to work.
Yeah. I went back to see
you. You're on Instagram looking for watermelon news.
Went back to Fiji for my honeymoon. That was super fun.
Did you visit the Survivor Islands, or you just?
I did.
Yes.
I did. Whoa. So I wanted to. Our first stop was at Ponderosa, and I cried leaving the people there because I was there for a while. So you get close to all the people that work there.
But they're not. They're not there now, right? You can't just show up at Ponderosa, right?
Well, I'm talking about like the workers that like work for that like specific. Hotel.
Oh, so they're those people are there all year round, whether it's Survivor or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you just become really close to them because they take care of you and they cook for you and they give you massages and they're just so nice. So I cried leaving because to me, they're like a second family. Like I stay in touch with them. So, and then, the second place we stayed was Mana Island. And from there we, hired like a local boat guy to take us out, to Malolo, Navidi and kind of where we started the game, which I believe was Edge of Extinction.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so fun going back and getting to show my husband, like, this is where I went to the bathroom. This is like where we had like, because we called it Navidi like hotel and spa or Navidi resort and spa.
Oh, you showed him where you went to the bathroom on the island, not at Ponderosa?
Yeah, on the island. Yeah, people want to know that stuff. The questions fans ask you, like, they want to know like the weird stuff, like how did you go to the bathroom or where did you go to the bathroom or how often did you go? You get a lot of bathroom questions. So people always tell them we went in the ocean. We call them aqua dumps.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband's like, why do you always talk about going to the bathroom? I'm like, they're asking me. So anyway, showed them where we went to the bathroom, walked around. But when I was at Navidi, I mean, Wendell is an amazing, he can do anything with wood. So we really had like
a resort and spa there. Like, we had our own living room. We had two different fires going, like one in our living room, one by our beds. When we slept in bed, you know, we wouldn't get cold. We just were like living the life. We had a swing. We had all different types of stuff there. So props to Wendell. Wendell, and that's, I'm going back on the Dom Wendell world thing, but he was just, Wendell was so likable, and he did so much to, you know, help our tribe. But long story short, so we went back there, got to show him all the islands, and then the last place we went was like a super nice, like basically honeymoon resort. So it was fun being back in Fiji and showing him how beautiful everything was. And as clear as the water is on TV and blue and gorgeous, it's a million times better in person. It's just, Fiji is a beautiful place.
Okay. All right. Morgan, at Morgan Shay Ricky on Twitter. What about on Instagram, where you are following the watermelon news?
I don't even know my own handles is that bad. I think it's Morgan S. Ricky.
Okay. There you go.
It is Morgan S. Ricky on Instagram.
Okay.
Morgan, I don't use Twitter a lot, but I like photos, so Instagram's where it's at.
What about Pinterest? I feel like there'd be a lot of watermelon news on Pinterest.
Oh, gosh. I used to do Pinterest. I don't even know if I know my password anymore.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of recipes and watermelon ideas.
Yeah. You can just Google anything nowadays. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, Morgan, thank you. This was so nice to get to talk to you for a little bit.
Oh, it's called, let's see. It's Watermelon Board. Is the Instagram I follow.
All right, here. Let me look at it real quick. Watermelon, B-O-A-R-D, or watermelon, like, yep. Like, I'm so bored, I'm looking at watermelon. Nope.
B-O-A-R-D. Hey now. Hey now. All about watermelon.
Okay, watermelon board. Okay. And they tell you to support Jackson from Big Brother.
I saw it. I don't know if it was that specific page. This is more just like, watermelon like recipes and different things, but being a watermelon follower, I think I saw it on like a hashtag watermelon or hashtag watermelon supporters or something like that. You know, I'm just that big nerd, so you know, people make fun of me. Yeah, I don't care.
Watermelon Instagram takeover was on Saturday, October 12th, but they didn't have you do it.
No, they didn't. They don't know that I love watermelon, but
yeah,
they got more followers. Than
oh, it looks
I do,
like
so
that some people are making jack-o'-lanterns out of the watermelon. I would call them the Jackson lanterns.
That's good. That's
yeah.
Good.
Have you ever done that?
You know, I haven't, but I think that's a great idea because watermelon is much better to eat out of the middle than pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, because pumpkin seed, you have to throw out a lot of the gross stuff. But, you know, watermelon, you could just, you know, spit it. I don't even remember the last watermelon I had with seeds.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't deal with that anymore.
Yeah, we don't deal with it anymore. I'm going to tell my kids that watermelons had used to have black seeds in them, and it's going to blow their mind.
It probably will.
What? Oh, you're
man,
lying.
Our childhood, we used to have to spit out watermelon seeds.
Yeah.
Almost there now.
All right, Morgan, thank you so much. And really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us, okay?
Yep. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. Morgan Ricky on the podcast talking about everything going on Survivor and watermelon and how Dominic Abate is old. And I didn't want to say that I'm like literally the same age as Dominic Abate, but there you go here on our feedback show. Next up, going to get Josh Wiggler on the line. We're going to talk through everything going on. We're going to commiserate about losing our winner pick and much more. Plus, we'll listen to your wand offs in the week 4 wand off. Then we'll get into this week in Survivor with Jordan Kalish, with our special guest, Ryan Elder. It's going to be back taking on the quiz on this week in Survivor. That's all in one podcast on Monday night before we get ready to turn things back around for week five. Plus, we'll have our latest episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. We'll be rewatching season 3, episode 7 of Friends. So looking forward to that one, plus News AF as well. That's all in our Rob as a Podcast main feed, not to mention everything going on with the B&B, why Chelsea lost, and Shannon Gates' coverage of our U.S. Survivor, our global Survivor coverage, where Pia from Australian Survivor is going to join Shannon. That's happening all in our Survivor podcast feed, robiswebsite.com/Survivor Podcast, or in our wrap ups feed as well. Thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, we could not do it without the support of our patrons. Busy Saturday for me, where I started the day with a Facebook Saturday, took calls from the patrons, got on the line with Morgan, and then we're going to have one more patron podcast coming up later on tonight on the Patron 5 for 5. So it's going to be a jam-packed weekend talking with the patrons, but it's a lot of fun. If you want to get in on everything that we have going on at Rob's a Podcast or robhasawebsite.com/Patron. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.